If you were with us last week, we were in Romans 8. And I'll have to admit, Romans 8 was a great text to preach from, right? What shall separate us from the love of God? Nothing, right? Nothing. And then we come to chapter 9 of Romans. And I was thinking about this, and as I was reading some stuff, some of the stuff said to me, there are a lot of pastors who maybe are preaching through the book of Romans. They come to chapter 8, and they're all excited, and they go gung-ho, and then it comes to chapter 9, and they skip it. They skip it, and they move on to chapter 10, and I got to admit, it was tempting this week to say to Vicki, here, let's just forget chapter 9, because not that it's a hard text to understand, but it might be a hard text to accept. Do you hear that? It's not that, as I go through this, that it's a hard text to understand, but there might be some things in there that are hard to accept. So it might be easier that we just skip chapter 9, but we're not going to do that, okay? I think it's good that we tackle sometimes Scripture when it's hard, when we maybe don't totally understand it, or we don't totally like it, right? You may say, what? I like all the Bible. trust me, you may read some Scripture and say, I don't know if I like what Paul is saying or what the purpose of that text is all about. But before we begin that, let's pray. Lord, thank you that you give us your word. And we thank you for the Apostle Paul, who was part of writing your word down in the book of Romans, so that we could understand it and those during that time could understand. And so, Lord, we want to understand. We want to, even those things that might be hard to accept, we want to know what you're trying to say to us. So, Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be honoring to you. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Now, I got to read, before we get into verse 6, we're going to go back, if you have your Bibles open, to chapter 9, and we're going to go verse 1 to 5. I need to read that and just explain, set that up, because that kind of sets us up for verses 6 to 23. So let me read chapter 9, verses 1 to 5. I speak the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience confirms it in the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers and those of my own race, the people of Israel. Theirs is the adoptions as sons. Theirs the divine glory, the covenants, the receiving of the law, the temple worship, and the promises. Theirs are the patriarchs, and from them is traced the human ancestry of Christ, who is God, over all, forever, and praised. Paul wants people to know that, hey, I'm speaking the truth here. I'm speaking the truth in Christ. He says, I'm not lying. Aren't you glad that Paul's not lying? Right? Paul, you shouldn't be lying in the first place. I'm not lying. He says, my conscience confirms it. He wants people to know, this is confirmed. The Holy Spirit is letting me know this. And he goes on to say, I'm in great sorrow and I am in anguish in my heart. He says, I wish I could be what? Cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my own race, the people of Israel. Why is he saying this? You know why? Because the Jews, the Israelites of that day, were not accepting the message. They weren't accepting the gospel message. They didn't believe Jesus was the Messiah that was for them. They were looking for something else, a different type of Messiah. They were looking for a revolt against the Roman Empire. What was happening? So this was not who they were looking for. And Paul is he loves his people. You can sense that, right, in that scripture? For I wish I myself could be cursed off and cut off for my brother's sake. He says, you know, they were the adoption. Theirs is the adoption. They're adopted into the kingdom. The divine glory. Remember, the covenants came through my people, through Abraham, through Moses, the temple worship, all the promises in the Old Testament. And then there's all the patriarchs Paul talks about. And through that, we come right to the human ancestry of Christ. Right? It's all through the people of Israel. That's all good stuff. But they have not accepted the message. And so then we come to verse 6. And this is Paul responds. He says, it is not as though God's word has failed. It's not because of God's word and his promise that the people of Israel has not accepted Christ as the Messiah. And he says, for not all who descended from Israel are Israel. What's he talking about? Okay. Well, there is what we call the nation of Israel. And then there is what we call spiritual Israel. Those that confess that Jesus is the Lord and Savior and is the Messiah is spiritual Israel. And that was open to all of us. Even as Gentiles, that message of hope. So we are part of that what? That spiritual Israel. And then we have the nation of Israel. And the nation then and today is still searching. They are still searching for the truth, for the Messiah. The Israelites, or the Gentiles, have now been included. Israel has rejected the gospel. Paul's saying, this is the hard part, he's saying, not all will become spiritual Israel from the nation of Israel. Meaning not all Israel will be saved. Because we have free choice to make decision if we're going to accept the message of Christ. Paul says it's through this Isaac, the offspring, the children, he calls it, the children of promise, right? Those who have accepted the promise, accepted the covenant between God and themselves. And he brings in the story of Sarah at this point. He says, appointed that Sarah will have a son. And remember, Sarah had the son Isaac. There was another son, do you remember, that came to Abraham? Remember, he couldn't wait for that promise to happen. And Ishmael was born to another person. But the promise was to come through Isaac, that this promise of this spiritual Israel would come. And then he talks about Rebekah. And Isaac, it says, even before the twins, you remember who the twins were? Jacob and Esau. He says, even before they were born, they had not done anything good or bad. Right? And they were born. In order, Paul says, that God's purpose in election might stand. Not by works, but by him who calls. She was told, the older will serve the younger. Just as it is written, Jacob I love, but Esau I hate it. Now, in that time, it was the older one that should be head of all. But there was a change there. Instead, God had called, instead of Esau, called Jacob. Pretty strong language there, right? Just as it is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I hate it. Strong language. I don't think God hated Esau, but he was trying to show the promise of this would come through Jacob. Right? not by works, right? Not by works, Paul says, in order that God's purpose in election might stand. Now, here's where we're going to make it a little trying to understand that word election, okay? Paul uses the word that there were those that were called or predestined, right? God has elected or called who would follow him. He knows, we'll put it this way, God is omniscient, meaning he knows the future. He knows the decisions that people will make. But God says, I have the choice. I have the choice. What then shall we say, verse 14, is God unjust? Paul says, not at all. For he says to Moses, what? I have mercy on whom I have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. Meaning God chooses freely and unconditionally. Because he's God. You know what? We can't understand that. We're just finite human beings, right? Put it this way, it is so easy for us to put God in a little box and try to understand. And we can't do this. I will have mercy in whom I have mercy. I will compassion whom I have compassion. And then Paul says, it does not therefore depend on human desire or effort, but on God's mercy. It doesn't depend on, Paul says, even your desire or your effort, your works. You're saved by God's mercy. We know that. You know, Paul talks in other places, we're not saved by our works, but we're saved by grace through Christ. And then here's where it gets a little tough in verse 17. For Scripture says to Pharaoh, I raised you up for this very purpose, that I might display my power in you, that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. Therefore, God has mercy on whom he wants to have mercy, and he hardens whom he wants to harden. Now, you know the story about Pharaoh. Pharaoh had Israelites. He was working them to death. God called Moses to go to Pharaoh to get his people released. Remember all the plagues and everything that happened. And if you read that whole story, it says that God, what? Hardened Pharaoh's heart. Now, I believe that probably Pharaoh's heart wasn't that pure. Probably was a little hard in the first place, but Scripture 6 or 7 times in those verses says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. In fact, it says here, he raised him up for this purpose that what? God might display his power in him and that his name might be proclaimed in all the earth. God said, my purpose is going to be proclaimed. I'm going to use Pharaoh. Pharaoh wasn't a great guy. Do you know that sometimes God can use those things that aren't great to do his will? I think that's what Paul's trying to say. You know, God chooses what he will use and what he'll do. And in this case, he hardened Pharaoh's heart. Now, we may hear this and we may think, you know what? That's a little unjust. That's a little unjust to my human ears, right? But God is saying, this is my character. My character is about mercy. What is mercy? It's something that's not deserved. None of us here deserve mercy. God gives it to us freely, not because we deserve it, but we are given mercy. What about God's purpose? What is that all about? What is God's purpose? You ever think? We always think about ourselves, right? What's my purpose in life? Do you ever think of that? Well, God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to live life? God has a purpose too. And we are here to serve God's purpose. We're not here to serve our own little purpose. But in serving God's purpose, It makes us better. It draws us to Him. In fact, Scripture says we are called according to God's purpose. In the story with Pharaoh, God's purpose was to display His power and to proclaim His name. In fact, Paul says this. He goes later on, verse 19. He says, one of you will say to me, now Paul's anticipating what feedback he's going to get, especially from the Jewish people as they hear this. Then why does God still blame us? Why does God still blame us if He's in control? If God is sovereign and He shows mercy on who He shows mercy and compassion? For who is able to resist His will? I love this. Paul says, but who are you, a human being, to talk back to God? Who are you to talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to the one who formed it, why did you make me like this? Does not the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay some pottery for special purposes and some for common use? I think what Paul's saying is God is sovereign, God is in control, God knows what is best. We are not the ones to say to God, why did you form me? Or talk back to what God has in store. Again, it's not our desire or our efforts that save us or our works, but it's God's mercy that saves us. It is God who saves us. It is God who draws us to Himself through the work of the Holy Spirit. We are children of God through His mercy. Pharaoh was raised up for God's purpose. Paul said this, some are raised, what? For special purposes and some for common use. Some are raised for special purposes and some are raised for common use. God decided He maybe needed to harden Pharaoh's heart so that Pharaoh would be used for His purpose. Sometimes God lets us go our own way, and our own way might be to harden our hearts. Or earlier in Romans, it says that God gave them up, remember, to what they wanted. God didn't interfere in their lives. God gave them up. And because of that, it does not make us unjust, or doesn't make God unjust. God is sovereign. God is in control. Again, our view of God can be sometimes pretty small, or we can put Him in a box. God is the sovereign creator. We are the finite creation. God is the potter. We're the clay. God can choose what He desires, right? Verse 22 and 23. What if God, although choosing to show His wrath and make His power known, bore with great patience the object of His wrath, prepared for destruction? What if He did this to make the riches of His glory known to the objects of His mercy, whom He has prepared in advance? Paul says God can choose to have mercy, patience whenever He has. Has God's word failed? Paul says no. Is God unjust? No. Are we right to talk back? No. God is sovereign to do what He wants to do. And our response might be, not my God. Not my God. That's the tough part about this whole chapter as you read it. Not my God. Here's what I would say this morning to us. Sometimes God doesn't fit in our little box. And sometimes we may have to wrestle with Scripture. Wrestle with Scripture. I wrestled with this chapter all week as I read it. I thought, can I give some better news to the people here at First Congregational? But Romans 9 is there, and there's a reason Paul put it there. And sometimes we might have to wrestle with Scripture. You know, as we read what's in the New Testament, the Old Testament, we may have different viewpoints than other people have viewpoints. I always think of the viewpoint of God's coming back, you know, the rapture, right? Some people have the viewpoint of God's, we're going to go through the pre-trib, you know, before the tribulation, we're going to be raptured. And there are some people who are mid-tribbers and think, hey, we're going to go through halfway through the tribulation. And then there are people who are post-tribbers who believe, no, we're going to be raised after the tribulation. And then my viewpoint is that we're pan-tribbers, meaning it's all going to pan out in the end, right? But we should sometimes have to wrestle with the hard scriptures that are here. Number two, we need to pray. Pray big and pray hard for salvation for people. So there are people out there that have blinders that need to be removed and hearts that need to be softened. There are people that can't see it. Their blinders are still there. They can't understand the scripture. Or their hearts, they're hard towards God and they need to be softened somehow. We can still pray. That's part of God's plan for us to pray for that. Thirdly, we need to witness boldly. Witness boldly. God uses his gospel to save. And so we need to be bold and patient. I'm not going to say Matt. The other day was in the car, and remember, Matt, we were talking about witnessing on the way home from the hockey game, and you mentioned that somebody called you a Jesus freak. And Matt said, I was so proud of that. I'm a Jesus freak. We should all be proud of that, right? That we stand up, that we're bold, we have a witness for others or for God. And then lastly, we need to be grateful. We need to be grateful, people. Grateful that God saved you, that God chose you, the Bible says, before you were even born. That's that word election. God chose, God elected you before that. So in that, we need to delight in God, and we need to find comfort in that. Now, I'm going to take, as you go home this week, I'm going to challenge you to read those verses again, chapter 9, verses to 23, and I want you to wrestle with that passage. Okay, wrestle with it and say, God, what are you trying to say to me? Right? I mean, there's your people, Israel, right? God, Paul says Israel was important. That's where Christ descended from the people of Israel. But Israel has hardened their heart, the nation of Israel. And because of that, the salvation message goes out to all so that we're all part of that. We're all part of I've always wanted to be a Jew, part of the Jewish nation. And I am. I'm a spiritual Jew, I believe, because I've accepted the message of Jesus and the gospel of Jesus. And we need to keep praying for those that haven't. As Paul struggled with his own people, the nation of Israel. You know, as we hear about the nation of Israel in the news and what's going on there and the battles, we need to pray, right? That hearts would be softened, that hearts would be open, that not just the nation of Israel, but all people would be open to hearing God's word and responding to it. But remember, God is sovereign. He's in charge, not us, right? And that's a good place to have it. I'd rather have God be in charge and God being sovereign than me. You wouldn't want to see what type of world would be happening if I was in charge, okay? So this is a good thing. Let's pray. Oh God, we see in this passage your love, your unconditional love, and your promise of your calling and electing and you choosing and you being sovereign, and some people might seeing that as unjust. But we know Scripture says you will have mercy on whom you desire to have mercy and compassion on whom you desire to have compassion. And that your purpose is that you would be proclaimed, that your greatness would be proclaimed, that people would turn to you for love and acceptance and salvation only through Jesus Christ. So we pray this morning that we wouldn't be stuck in a little box trying to understand you, because we probably will not totally understand God until we get there with God. But help us, Lord, to pray hard, to be bold in our faith and to make a stand, and to be grateful that you have chosen us. Lord, thank you for all that you have done. Thank you for these hard words of Scripture that may be hard to accept, but they're there for us. And so we pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.